You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
I'm now joined by old mate Thea, who is currently in Los Angeles. How you doing this morning, Thea?
Oh, kia ora, Ewha. I'm doing very, very well. It's 2:30 PM over here.
True.
On Thursday, not Friday. So
wow.
I get like two release days.
Yeah, that's sick. It's like having two birthdays, man. That's dope.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Has anyone, this is a really dumb thing that I just like to, I don't know, ask some people, but has anyone been, said, Thea? I barely know her. Has anyone done that to you?
Is that, I don't actually get that.
You know, like that,
I'm so sorry.
Like people talk about, like, going to a liquor store and getting, like, liquor. They'll say, liquor? I barely know her. Like, there's that joke. And then I just like to make it with anything that has an sound at the end of the word. So, Thea, I barely know her. I thought that was a more common cultural thing. I'm so sorry.
Someone's done it. Let me tell you that.
Okay, and it was a very underwhelming time.
No, it's cute. I'll give you a pass. It's totally fine.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. We're here to talk about your new track, Bald Head. Have you got a favorite and least favorite bald person?
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, I'm sure if anyone knows anything about anything, you would know who my least favorite bald person is.
I can imagine. I can imagine. Yeah, Chris Luxon.
Let's just say that, Mr. Luxon. And who would my favorite bald person be? Honestly, like, I don't feel like I know
a lot of great bald people.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a girl's girl, so obviously I don't know that many girls.
Jada Pinkett Smith.
So let me just think for a second. Mm-hmm. Let's just you know what?
Could be a fictional character, you know. Frozone, could go Frozone. Pretty. Frozone's pretty cool.
Is Frozone bald?
Yeah. From Incredibles, yeah.
Oh. Okay. I said Humpty Dumpty.
Oh, true. Humpty Dumpty's great. He's great. You a fan of eggs? Are you an egg person?
I freaking love eggs, honestly.
Yeah. Are you more poached, fried? What's your vibe?
I'm literally everything. I'm poached, obviously, if it's on a Benny.
Mm-hmm.
I'm scrambled if it's like, you know, just scrambled eggs and bacon.
Mm-hmm. It's a good time.
So I just love my eggs.
Very versatile, very, very versatile food. I was curious, the track name Bald Head, there's a three in it. Is that referring to the government as a three-headed tanifa? Or am I reading too much into that?
Stop, that's pretty slay. No, it's more that I just wanted to, like, sort of self-censor it. Because I just thought it was kind of cool, like, being in capitals and having a three in it, stylized mm-hmm. in that way, because it is obviously a slur, so I quite like playing into that.
Yeah.
For the purpose of
this, oh, I didn't know it was a slur. Shit.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It came, bald head is a term that's from, like, the Rasta movement, so obviously Uncle Bob had a song called Crazy Bald Head, take those crazy bald heads out of town, so,
wow.
And then it was definitely like a phrase that obviously, as long as the English language has been, you know, flowing amongst our people since colonization, it's been a term that I've grown up on as Māori for Pākehā, effectively,
mm-hmm.
colonizers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I decided to title this Waiata Bald Head,
mm-hmm.
Because, of course, it is about the current attacks on our people from the government, who happens to be run by a man with no hair.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Perfectly
very, very
fitting.
Good. Very fitting. Very, very fitting indeed. You mentioned colonization before. The track is Israeli against the devastation brought on by onto Māori by colonization. This is something I like to talk about with people who make tracks about colonization. Is where do you see the future kind of going for Māori? Do you think are you optimistic about things?
Well,
in terms of, like, civil rights and treaty justice, we're in the middle of a horrible patch. But
it's awful.
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose, like, obviously, I dream of a future the same as, you know, most of our people and activists, where our deal was not banned from signs or company names, and we have, you know, just as Ted Siddity intended, we have equal standing and equal rights, and, you know, hashtag land back, and if the treaty principles bill and all of these really major things that are, you know, really just weaponizing and inciting hate and anti-Māori rhetoric. So,
yeah,
I feel like right now it's really tough and very dark days facing down, like, I guess, the barrel of the gun of all of these awful, like, you know, really, really hateful and harmful policies. But, you know, we're not going anywhere. And, you know, you kind of have to be a political people as Māori. You're marginalised. And so just existing and fighting for our language, our land and our rights, of course, is inherently political. So we're absolutely not going anywhere. And there's definitely such, like, you know, empowerment strength in seeing the movements that are rising up with our people standing, defending ourselves, and of course the tangata tiriti, like, you know, yourself, for example, who is platforming our stories and, trying to really do what they can to oppose these really harmful practices and legislation. So of course there is hope, because there are, you know, so many of us here, but it's certainly difficult.
It's a real struggle. It is a real struggle. That's one thing that's very, very clear. There's a really fascinating aspect to your song where you close by whispering ka whaiwhai tonu mātou ake ake, which is a direct quote from Tainui Rangatira Rewi Maniapoto, who led Kingitanga forces against the invasion of Waikato in the 1860s. When did you first hear this quote, and what made you choose it in particular?
Well, it's been so cool and perfectly timely, of course, that this quote has kind of gone hand in hand with our, you know, kotahitanga and rangatiratanga movement as of late. But I think as like a uri of Waikato Tainui, you kind of grow up with it, because this quote is obviously like iconic, stemming from the Raupatu and the land wars. And as a born and bred supporter of our kingitanga and king movement, this is kind of like a this whakatawaki or quote is kind of a ridgepole, if you will, of our kingitanga movement, which, you know, is kind of like our way of course uniting all Māori as a way of standing against the English monarchy and now, of course, the NZ government. So I just try however I can to incorporate whakatawaki that are specific from my iwi. But this is the perfect one, because in this context, obviously, this song is me trying to, I suppose, push back, hit back, retaliate on the government's policies and on colonization that and the traumatic effects that still affect us today.
Yeah,
so still persists. Yeah, it just made sense to utilize this whakatawaki from Rewi, who literally called this out to the colonial forces who were you know, trying to make us back down, and said, no, we're going to fight on forever and ever and ever, and we still are. So, and it's even the theme of this year's Māori Language Week too.
Very, very awesome. Very awesome. You said whakatawaki. Is that what I am thinking of as a whakatauki?
Whakatauaki is so whakatauki means proverb, but whakatauaki is when you can cite who said it.
Cool. It's, I was like, just like, is it a dialect thing? But no, it's a different thing entirely.
Yeah.
Oh, true, true,
so
true.
It's like an iconic whakatauki, but when you can say exactly who said it. That's
awesome.
A whakatauki.
Okay, that's legit. Thank you for that that bit of knowledge there.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for asking.
In the video for Baldhead, you wear an incredibly stylish Victorian era fit with a crazy frill, and you got pearls. You got some crazy jewelry. Where'd you suss the fit?
Oh my gosh, thank you. I really appreciate that, first of all. It took, so I recorded this on, you know, Māori land, mm-hmm. In Wainuiomata, mm-hmm. when I was the Toirau Whārangi Māori artist in residence at Massey. And this was in January. And I'd broken my foot, so I'm like, I've got like a severely fractured foot in the video when I'm performing, and right. So it meant that like it was really hard to like physically go around and source things and try things on, so I pretty much just tried whatever costume shop and higher places were the closest to Myacom in Wellington, and just tried on so many dresses and found the coolest one ever, which is what I'm wearing. Mm. The idea is that I white face Queen Victoria.
Colonized
us at the time, but like re-indigenizing these really colonial silhouettes. Mm. So it's shout outs to this amazing woman, Sharon, from this costume higher place in Wellington. She honestly slayed, and she made the collar for me as well.
Yeah. Oh man, that's awesome. That's crazy. I do love how you're rocking that Victorian fit. Goes hard. That literally rocking the Victoria fit. It's awesome. speaking of the video, you mentioned that it's filmed on the Wainuiomata coast. Does this area have any particular special connection to you?
Well, it does now.
Yeah, true.
Because I whakapapa and hail from Te Puaha Waikato, Port Waikato, so from the Tainui Waikato region. Mm-hmm. So obviously I do not whakapapa to Te Whanganui Ātara, but obviously seeing as that's where I was and where I had to, you know, make my projects in film, then I wanted to at least you know, be able to find somewhere really, really special. So a new friend of mine, Billy Wepu, and his wife led me to this land that's like only accessible by like four-wheel drive, and you have to have like the, you know, be able to have the farmers open the gates for you and stuff like that. So very, very blessed. Mm. And we kind of went in convoy, me and all of my you know, Tauira friends that are in the video, and me hobbling
yeah.
with my broken foot, and it's just amazing. Everything worked out so perfectly. And then I think the next day, me and my manager hopped in the car, drove straight back to Auckland, and then got on a plane to the States. So it was all like a whirlwind, but I'm so grateful. And now Wainuiomata is definitely close to my heart, because at that time as well, only like, I think it was a week before the video was shot, I performed at Camp Aloham.
Oh, true.
Two sets. Actually, three sets, two for Thea and one for Te Kahu. So I kind of like already had fallen in love with the land and, you know, the people. It's a very Māori community, and just very, very, very beautiful and sacred. So it was really cool to be able to, like, you know, shoot there. Because I feel like because of the fact that it's, you know, private land, no one will probably know where it is, and it is... When you look at it, it's like looks so untouched, which is kind of what I wanted. I wanted it to almost look like a perfect post-apocalyptic utopia where we as Māori are, you know, free and unencumbered.
Mm-hmm. Free to do things kaupapa Māori way. Yeah.
Mm. Koe ra, koe ra.
Very awesome. Speaking of being busy, you have been quite busy. You've been over in LA for a wee while doing a lot of touring. How do you rate LA as a city? I mean, I hear it's very smoggy, but I hear there's a lot of cool food and, you know, a lot of entertainment. What are your thoughts?
I feel like LA is severely underrated.
Underrated?
I think that everyone honestly thinks of it as Hollywood and, like, they love it or hate it, but it's truly so remarkable. I've honestly fallen in love with it. I think it's such a vast city And there's so many incredible pockets and so much diversity. Like Spanish language is the second most spoken language here, other than English. And so where I am currently in Highland Park, it's literally just like Mexican, Latinx. It's amazing. So yeah, I feel like it's a really remarkable city. The queer community is just next level. The immigrant and diversity, you know, of the people that live here is just so cool. And you can literally go to Little Tokyo, Chinatown, Little Ethiopia.
Wow.
Like, everything.
That's so
it's
cool.
Just so cool. And so if anyone from Aotearoa comes here, surely go check out Hollywood. I mean, I've lived there for a couple of months, like earlier in the year, and it's amazing. But do yourself a favor and go check out, you know, like the most remarkable, you know,
micro suburbs and micro cultures and stuff.
Oh, it's next level. It's so cool, you know. So it's a very, very special city. And I'm also stoked that the next Olympics is going to be here as well. Everyone's like super pumped about it.
Nice. Was when you were thinking of going to America, was it always LA or do you have New York in mind or anywhere else?
Oh, I'd love to travel more. I've been to New York one time, but LA is effectively, it's kind of like where, it's a music hub, right? There's lots of places that are though. Like I fell in love with Seattle when I was there playing shows and things.
Yeah.
But at the moment, I got, you know, I got free accommodation, I'm house sitting and dog sitting for one of my really good friends who's on tour, so it just makes sense to be here, and my band's here, and I play so many shows here, and it's kind of like, it's a really good base to just go to and from.
Nice. I'm very, very happy to hear that.
Thank you.
I don't have a whole lot of time left, but do you want to know, any new tunes or songs on the way?
Yes, I guess I can say. So if you are familiar with myself and my music, I have two projects, two kaupapa. One is called Te Kahu, which is kind of, you know, like my ode to my grandmother and all my tūpuna wahine. And it's totally in reo Māori, and it's very like, just very gentle and kind of lullaby vibes. And so I've got a little mini album that's coming out towards the end of the year for that, and it's just a very, very beautiful, very sweet and hopefully calming sound for anyone who needs some grounding and to, you know, soak in our reel. And then apart from that, obviously, I'm working on a whole bunch of new Thea music, so keep an eye out for that.
Cool.
But yeah, like stream Baldhead, watch the video, and thank you for
play the game, read the book,
buy the
action figures, get the lunchbox.
Yeah, collect them all.
With Te Kahu, do you use taonga puoro?
I have always wanted to, but so far it's been more like influenced by the vibes of the music that my nannies listen to. So it's very like doo-woppy and kind of all like organic folky instruments. But Baldhead has a poo taratara in it all the way through. It's that really big sound. It sounds almost like a, I don't know, it's you know, pū taratara is a big conch shell, and it's symbolic because whenever you would hear it being utilized, it's like a call to war or a summoning. So that's all the way through, and you can hear it, and it goes left to right. It's really, really cool. So there is taonga puoro in this way, Ata.
True. Well, let's hear it. Here, we're going to play that track, Baldhead, very shortly. Thank you so much for coming on this morning, Thea. It was fantastic talking to you. Fantastic.
Oh, Mihiana kia koe. Thank you so much for supporting, and really appreciate you. It was lovely to meet you.
Of course. Ka kite anō. All right, folks, that was Thea talking about Baldhead. We're going to play that for you right now, and then at 10, we have another kōrero. We have Kako coming on to talk about his new track, OMG. Let's hear it for some Thea, Baldhead, listening to The One. Take care.
Tightening round my neck, I wish for freedom and time. That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.